Your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. First Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 22 will be our text this morning. Great text in the Bible. For in Adam all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We have a universal truth. Everyone in Adam will die. And everyone in Christ shall be made alive. Now we live in a day in which people are trying to deny their existence. I mean, really, that's what it is. I mean, you think about the Big Bang Theory. Really, what it is a denial of man's existence, who they are. It's a denial of the fact that we are all born in Adam. And of course, the Bible tells us that no matter what people think, they can talk about a Big Bang Theory, they can talk about coming from apes, and they can talk about whatever they want to talk about. But everybody is faced with a universal truth. That everyone's going to die. Everyone is going to die. Now, we realize there are those that try to escape that. And we have those who believe in reincarnation and all sorts of different things. What is it is? It's trying to escape the reality of death. Man is trying to escape the reality that we are all born in Adam. And in Adam, the Bible tells us, all die. Without exception. All die. Now, as we think about that, let's talk about the realm of Adam. Let's talk about the realm of this death. Of course, let's go to Genesis and verse number 17 of chapter 2. Verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And of course, Adam and Eve took that fruit, and they brought sin and death into the human race. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. You know that verse. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, we have some mighty important truths here. There is not one person in this room that is able to prevent their death. There is not one person in this room who is able to prevent their death. There is not one person in this room who is able to prevent the wearing out of their body. Now, some people do a good job of taking it easy all their life, and many times they do live longer, but they're not doing anything. But there's nothing that you can do. You know, you get to be about, 45. You know, and guess what? Lots of people have to get glasses about age 45. Yep. Got to get glasses. Things start getting a little blurry. You looking forward to that? Okay. Now, I'm not saying that you're blurry, you're old because you have glasses, okay? I'm not saying that. But, you know, those who would like to deny the fact that they are getting older, I have to use that phrase, older, you know. They're going to be faced with it about age 45 because they're going to start seeing a little blurry, you know. And they're going to have to start guessing, you know. Guessing where they're putting that screwdriver in that slot, you know. And they don't see it, they're guessing, you know. Takes a little bit longer to find the place. Well, there's nothing that you can do to stop that. You know, I was thinking about that today. As you think of Far Eastern religion, thinking, and a lot of holistic medicine comes out of the Far East. And not that I totally reject it, but you know what? What is the thinking of holistic medicine? Holistic medicine is your body has been made to fight off disease. Your body has been made to reproduce itself and to maintain itself. But you know what? There's a kink in there. Death. The body doesn't always fight off disease. The body doesn't always repair itself. It doesn't always work that way. And, you know, it is kind of funny because I've talked to some of these people, and again, there's principles there, but they're trying to go back before the fall. Okay? And there are real principles there. I've met some of these people and they get debilitating diseases. And their body starts wearing out. And they even die. And they're the ones that say, you know, your body is made to revigorate itself. Well, they forgot about sin. Sin came in the human race. And death by sin. And that sin came by Adam. And you know, it's kind of like this. I didn't really have a choice that I was born of Virginia and Richard Roberts. I didn't have a choice. I mean, that's the way it is. Right? And you know, in one sense of the word, you and I didn't have a choice that we were born in Adam. But we were. I mean, that's the fact of life. It's really the fact of death. In Adam, And so, we are reminded of some very sobering truths about being born in Adam. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we'll read it, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Carnal, fleshly, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, but that which I would, I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Now then, I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, the law is good. The law says, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness. The law is good. The law tells the truth. People don't like it, but it's good. It tells the truth. Now, then, it's no more that I do it, but that sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This body of death. And what is he saying? I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. In Adam, all die. Everyone is born in Adam. Everyone is born in the realm of death. Everyone is born with a sin nature. Everyone is born with a sin nature. And the Bible tells us, what is that sin nature? If I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's this inward death living within us. Sin nature. You know, I say, that the sin nature, what is the sin nature? The sin nature is the fact that everyone loves sin. Everyone loves sin. Now, you might not love the sin I love, that makes you better than me. No. Everybody loves sin. Their sin nature loves sin. And you might say, I hate lying. But there's another sin that you love. Who knows what it is? But there's, in Adam, all die. We have a sin nature. Nobody has to teach a child how to steal. Nobody has to teach a child how to lie. Nobody has to teach a child how to disobey. Nobody has to teach a child how to have disrespect. We're all in Adam. We're all in the death that comes with sin. That's how we're born. And there isn't a person in this room that doesn't have a sin nature. There isn't a person in this room that doesn't have a sin nature that doesn't love sin. That sin nature will always love sin. It will never stop loving sin. Never. You can be a Christian for 50 years, your sin nature will never stop loving sin. Now, most people don't think like they have a sin nature. Most people, most Christians don't even think they have a sin nature. In fact, a lot of Christians blame the things that they do, they blame them on God. They said, God led me to do this, and God led me to do that, and God led me to do that. Well, it's against the Bible what God led them to do. God didn't lead them, it's their sin nature. They just call their sin nature God. They just call their sin nature the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's confusion, but that's exactly what people do. Because people don't admit that they have a sin nature. Now, not only does a sin nature love sin, and we're born with it, but the sin nature has no power over sin. The sin nature has no power over sin. What did Apostle Paul say? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Hey, I'm miserable. I can't beat this sin. I can't change. I can't beat it. It's bigger than me. Yes, that's exactly right. Now, you know, in man's pride, there's some sins that he didn't like. And so he says, man, I'm a strong Christian. But there's some sins that they have so overpowered them, they don't even know that it exists. That might be pride. Might be other ones. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Pornography wouldn't be so popular if people had no problem licking it. Drugs wouldn't be so popular if people had no problem licking them. Alcohol wouldn't be running Washington, D.C. if people had no problem licking it. Adultery and all these wicked sins that headquartered even Washington, D.C. Why is it? Because people are born with a sin nature and they do not have power over sin. They cannot lick it. Now, the whole book of Proverbs is written, a father telling his son, son, you better stay away from these things because you can't lick it. They will lick you. That's the whole book of Proverbs. Laziness will lick you. Wrong women will lick you. Bad friends will lick you. Lying will lick you. Laziness will lick you. Did I say that twice? Well, that's a pretty big sin nowadays. Did you know that? Laziness is a big sin. Ask any employer. Ask anybody who hires people. Ask anybody who has manual labor in their workforce. They have a little booth outside the building. It says, this job requires hard work. And I'm just joking here. Here's some pigment for your skin that will help you work hard. Because if you're white, you'll probably need it. Because white young people have a reputation for laziness. Ask any employer. You know what? Sin is bigger than us. Sin is bigger than us. Now we live in the Nile is not only a river in Egypt. Sin nature. Sin nature. You know what? Our body is growing old. I tell you what. You want to make billions. Sell something. It doesn't even have to work. Sell something that will make a person feel younger, look younger. You'll be rich. Right? Like I said, it doesn't even have to work. Because it can't work. You aren't getting younger. But we live in a society of denial. Oh, I'm not getting old. You know? Just like me. I got to have a large print Bible. My wife says I need a bigger one. I don't wear glasses. I probably should. That's kind of denial, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Denial. You know what? I think there's a degree of vanity there. Yeah, I guess I am too. You know why? Because America is trying to deny that in Adam all die. Like I said last week, or one of this week, insurance people don't sell death insurance. They sell life insurance. Right? Hey, I'm selling death insurance. Want to buy some? No, you make it look good. You know? I'm selling life insurance. You want some of this? This is a great thing. You know, you won't want to be without it. And so, the funeral home. Someone dies. Their date of death. Born unto eternal life. When they died? Now that's denial. That's denial. You know what? They didn't say that 40 years ago. Did you know that? Mike, you been around that long?
I've been alive that long, but not in the business that long.
40 years ago, it used to say, died. Then it went from died to passed away. Okay? Now it's not died, it's born. Denial. Denial. I'm not going to die. I don't have death in me. I'm not born with a sin nature. Oh man. The psychologist would be out of business if they told the people they were born with a sin nature. They'd be out of business. That's why at the turn of the century there were almost no psychologists. Because it wasn't a common belief that you were born good. It was the common understanding you were born a sinner. And God gave children a seat of education. And loving parents knew how to apply the rod of correction to the seat of understanding. But it's all a denial. In Adam, all die. It's a denial. I guarantee you, young person, the most important thing that you could do is come to the convincing belief that you have a sin nature. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about someone who had lead in their feet. I mean, they work real slow, you know? I was going to say, hey, do you know that lead in your foot? That's called the sin nature. And I was thinking about that. Well, Ron, how could you apply that to your life? Yeah, exactly, right? We do what we do because we have a sin nature. We do the sins we do because we have a sin nature. In Adam, all die. And you know what? There's something else about it. In Adam, the body rots. And it's not going to recover itself. It dies. Just think of yourself laying in that coffin. And what power you have to make your body come back to life. Nothing. In Adam, all die. Now we don't like to think about that, do we? But the Bible says there's good news. In Christ shall all be made alive. Wow. Now, you don't have any choice about being in Adam, but everybody has a choice to be in Christ. Praise the Lord. In Christ, all shall be made alive. Now, this is the encouragement. This is the challenge. This is the blessing. This opportunity. Hey, what do we have in Adam? We got death everywhere. What do we have in Christ? Life. Oh, who would choose death? Who would choose death? We got a mixed up world, don't we? You know, this person needs to be saved. They're a drunkard. They're a partier. They're a fornicator. And you say, you can get saved. And they say, oh, I got a bunch of living to do that yet. They're lying to themselves. They got a bunch of dying to do. But in Christ, all shall be made alive. You know, you want to be the same person you are? Boy, I tell you what, that'd be a terrible thing. You know, I remember when I was under unsaved and under conviction of sin, the thing that consumed me was, boy, I don't want to be who I am. I don't want to be who I am. I don't like who I am. I don't like my sins. I don't like my life. I don't like what, my life doesn't please God. In the Bible, good news, in Christ all shall be made alive. I remember thinking about this, and I don't know this, what this has to do with the message, but I remember one time when I was 18, I thought about this. I thought about, boy, I'm sure glad that I don't go visit some psychologist. Because they would find so many problems. I would be hopeless. Now, by the way, when you get saved and you start obeying Christ, He starts changing all that. And you don't even know you're changing, but you are. And it's wonderful, because in Christ all shall be made alive. But I like this verse. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Wow. That's great. In Christ, all shall be made alive. In Christ, we are a new creation. And that creation is life, spiritual life, new life. I like that verse in Ephesians. It tells us that in Christ we have been created in righteousness and true holiness. The righteousness that man was created with, the holiness was, well, the image of God was marred when sin came into the universe. But when we get saved, part of the image of God that we were created in is restored, renewed, created in righteousness and true holiness. Life in Jesus Christ. Now I realize that this is talking about, the emphasis here is about raising from the grave. But it's all connected, folks. It's all connected. Look with me to Romans chapter 8. And verse 10. In Christ shall all be made alive. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The body lives in the realm of death. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit of God comes to dwell within the person who accepts Jesus. Can you imagine it? I mean, if you're not saved, can you imagine God's Holy Spirit, who garnished the heavens, coming to live in your soul. Isn't that amazing? God, the Spirit of God, who garnished the heavens, coming to live in your soul. Isn't that amazing? Life. In our flesh, there's no victory over sin. Now, you know what? In the flesh, there's victory over sin. When our pride does it. Because we don't want to be known as a sinner because our pride would be marred. You know, that's not really victory, is it? Not victory. Man, I think of this great, great basketball player, Magic Johnson. I mean, he could throw a basketball and put it in that hoop, you know. And he has a mastery over his physical body, but he was a slave to his physical body. He was one of the worst fornicators ever lived. He couldn't say no to sin. He couldn't say no. He had victory, but he had no victory. But what does Jesus do? Romans chapter 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What does it say? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Yep. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus conquered everything that has to do with death. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. He conquered the devil. He conquered sin. Victory. Now, you know, we need to put it in perspective. If Jesus Christ had victory over death, and he can raise up our body out of the grave, and he rose up his own body out of the grave, I tell you what, it's nothing for him to give us power over sin. Nothing. Nothing. He can do that. I mean, the Lord Jesus, he tried to show people who he was. Here's this man. Impotent, paralyzed, for 38 years. Rise up and walk. Boom. No problem. Here's a man born blind. He heals him. No problem. Not a problem at all. Why? Because Jesus Christ, in Christ, there's life. He defeats there's victory over sin. And death, dying, disease came into the human race because of sin. In Christ is life. Wow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is about what we call the rapture. And this is about the day that Jesus is going to return. And first of all, he's going to return for the believers. He's going to return in the clouds. Not going to come to the earth. Going to come to the sky. And he's going to... Come forth! And all the believers are going to hear his voice. Going to be raised up. Wow. That's something. So the Bible says, Verse 13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Remember, this is Thessalonica. This is Greek culture. There's no resurrection. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, there's no soul sleep like the Seventh-day Adventists teach. No soul sleep. Those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Where are they at? Where are they? They're in heaven. The souls who are saved go to heaven. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. What's sleeping? The body. You know, you ever figure that out? The mortuary industry has a lot of Christian thinking in it. That coffin, there's a pillow in there. Right? There's a pillow in there. They got a covering there. They're sleeping. They're going to be raised up. Yeah, exactly. Going to be raised up. You ever see them turned around face down? I never did. Because they're in a position to raise up. It says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There we go. In Christ shall all be made alive. Are you in Christ today? Are you in Christ today? Is your blood, is your sin under his blood? Have you received him? Have you received him as your Lord, as your Savior? Are you in Christ? In Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll look just two more passages here. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. The devil. Boy, the devil had a plan, didn't he? You know, it's no mistake that the death angel is pictured as a man in black, right? Man in black. Because the devil's whole purpose was to get Adam and Eve to sin so he could bring death, right? But guess what? The devil's been destroyed. Amen. The devil's been destroyed. His power is destroyed. He's still alive, but his power is canceled. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Put on the whole armor of what? God. First Corinthians 15. Verse 55, verse 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ah. Victory over death. Victory over the grave. Man. Isn't that great? In Christ shall all be made alive. When you get saved, you get new life. It's real. When you get saved, the Spirit of life lives within you. You're created anew in righteousness, true holiness. There's a new nature. Yeah, there's still the old one, but there's a new one that loves righteousness. Loves the Word of God. Loves the things of God. Now, if you're not saved, you know what? I don't know. But you must think that everything we do is wooden. I remember a lady one time, unsaved. We were visiting my mom and dad. And it was 5 o'clock and she says, and we're leaving. We're going to go to church. And she says, well, I suppose you got to go to church tonight. You know, that's how unsaved people think, right? You got all these rules and regulations and that's what you got to do, you know? And I said, nope, we get to go to church tonight. We get to go. I wonder, are you operating in the realm of death or in the realm of life? Boy, you get a new heart. Get a new nature. Victory over sin. Not in us, nope. But in Christ. Real victory. Real victory in Christ. Not in us, but in Him. Victory over the devil. He's the author of death. Jesus, author of life. And victory over the grave. Victory over death. And so Psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, now, I'm going to ask you a significant question. Is a shadow the real thing? No. It's not the real thing, is it? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, obviously, you see the imagery of it. Mountains. Dangerous terrain. Where does a burglar, the bad guy, lurch in the shadows, right? It's a figure of speech. But you know what? He's talking about something bigger. Because death for a believer isn't real. It's a gateway to heaven. Amen? It's a translation. Everybody that's left, they have the sorrows and the unknowns of death. But when you die, whoa! It's a translation. Transportation, that's what it is. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. You know, isn't it amazing? We're all about, you know for sure you're on the way to heaven. Oh, but I want to go. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I don't want to get this disease. I don't want to go. But we're all about, you know, make sure you know you're on your way to heaven. Are you 100% for sure you're on your way to heaven? Praise the Lord, you can know it. Oh, I don't want to die. I don't want to go there. I'm being a little bit facetious here. But to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen. Apostle Paul said, I'm in a great strait between two. Having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain. And to be with you and help you. Well, that might be God's will. He said, I'm a strait between two. And as long as God has His will for us to do, that's exactly what we should be thinking. Oh yeah, it's going to be far better to be with the Lord. But as long as it's God's will, He has something for me to do, I'm going to do my best and serve God with all my might. But heaven is waiting around the corner, because death is just a valley, is it just a shadow? Because death in Christ is a translation. And there will be a day that we hear our bodies hear His voice. And all in the graves will hear His voice. Amen. They that have done good, that has to do with Jesus, will be raised to life everlasting. Standing again. What a great truth it is. Think of this world has nothing except for Jesus Christ. I mean, there's nothing. This world has nothing. It's only in Jesus Christ. Even the lost will not be raised except that Jesus rose from the dead. Death would win over them. But all that in the grace will hear His voice. Those that have done good unto everlasting life, those that have done evil unto everlasting condemnation in Christ. Are you in Christ today? Are we thankful? Are we excited? Are we rejoicing? Are we taking advantage of the victory there is in Jesus Christ? Do we live in the realms of Adam, or do we live in the realms of Christ? That's a great question. Let's pray. Lord, thank You today that in Christ there is hope everywhere. Lord, there's hope over our sin nature. There's even hope, Lord, in the frailties of life. Because You can choose in Your will to heal us, if You so be. We thank You that, Lord, there's victory over all the onslaughts of Satan because You rose from the dead. He is a defeated foe. We thank You that, Lord, that there's victory over sin. And it's not about how hard we try. It's about our trust in the victory of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that that precious soul that is here today in Adam, Lord, they will leave this place in Christ. They will turn to Him. They will receive Him. They'll trust Him. They'll, Lord, make Him their Lord, their Savior, their hope, their life. By calling upon Him in faith, turning from their sin and sinfulness. And Lord, may we today leave this place convinced of the fact in Christ all shall be made alive. And Lord, might we live like it. Might we live like it, Lord. May the resurrection of the Lord Jesus permeate our thinking and our lives, even this day. Might we give ourselves to serve you. Might we give ourselves to bring honor to you. Might we give ourselves to one day as we look you in the eye. Might we look forward to that day that would be a day in which you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you've been living in the realm of Adam. And God has helped you see that in some way today. We all need to see it. And you can say, you know what? God showed me today how, even as a Christian, I've been living in Adam. But I haven't been living in that life that's in Christ. And God showed me a place, perhaps of defeat, but also he showed you now the means of victory in the Lord Jesus. And you say, Pastor, pray with me. God spoke in my heart. It's so clear. In Christ is life. And God has spoken my heart today. And I'm just asking that you pray with me. I'm rejoicing what God's done in my life. Anyone here today? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're here today, you say you aren't in Christ. You're in Adam. You're going to die without hope, living in darkness. You say, I need to be saved. I need to come to Jesus Christ. He's the one who rose from the dead. He's the only one who could do it, who did it, and he's the only one that can raise me from the dead, only one that could take me to heaven. You say, Pastor, I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? I need more understanding. Maybe you need more conviction. Maybe you need more repentance. Maybe you need more faith, but I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone here today? Just lift up your hand wherever it might be. Lord, now we thank you for the precious truths that we have in Christ. But more than truths, realities. And might, Lord, we live with these realities in mind. Bless those, Lord, that you have specifically helped today. In Jesus' name, amen.